pleased and outstanding for the arrival of the Mayor, Councillor Sophie Ramsey, Chief Executive Officer,
Please remain upstanding for the prayer. Almighty God, we humbly beseech thee to vouchsafe thy blessing on this council. Direct and prosper its deliberations in the advancement of thy glory and the welfare of the people for whom we serve. Amen. The reconciliation statement, Melton City Council acknowledges the land it now occupies as a history that began with its Indigenous occupants, the Kulin Nation. Council pays its respects to the Kulin Nation people, their elders and descendants past and present. Please be seated. All right, item two on the agenda, apologies and leave of absence. Neil? Changes to the order of business.
Neil, Madam Mayor.
Deputations.
No deputations this evening.
Declaration of any pecuniary interest, other interest and or conflict of interest of any councillor. Neil. Item 6, adoption and confirmation of the minutes of the previous meeting.
Somebody to move it?
Is someone prepared to move this motion?
Madam Mayor, I'll move that the minutes as attached be presented and voted.
The one stated on the 10th of March 2015. Councillor Turner? Yep. Thank you.
Yes, Madam Mayor.
Motion's now been moved by Councillor Turner. Do we have a seconder?
Madam Mayor, I'm happy to second that the minutes of the ordinary meeting of Council held on the 10th of March 2015 be confirmed as a true and correct record.
Thank you. Moved by Councillor Turner, seconded by Councillor Majlik. Does any Councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour? Motion's carried. Thank you. Correspondence inwards. Nil.
Correct, Madam Mayor.
Petitions and joint letters.
Nil also, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Resumption of debate or other business carried over from the previous meeting.
There is no carried over business.
Okay, public question time.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. We have seven questions this evening. First question is from Andrula Tuvana, who is in the gallery. This question asks, in the municipality of the City of Melton, what percentage of valuations do residential properties make up and what percentage of the rates revenue do they contribute? In the same municipality, what percentage of valuations do UGB and UGZ properties or lands make up, and what percentage of the rates do they contribute? The answer to that question, Madam Mayor, is that residential properties have a 79.93% of the valuation and contribute 78.70% of the rate revenue. Urban growth land, including UGB and UGZ, have 6.72% of the total valuation and contribute rate revenue before environmental rebate of 4.8%. After environmental rebate, it's 3.39%. The balance is commercial and industrial, which has 13.35% of the valuation and contributes 16.5% of the rate.
Thank you.
The next question is also from Ms. Devana, and it reads, on the 17th of March 2015, Mr. Greg Wood, Operations Manager at Melton Council, stated that in reference to Beattie's Road and Mount Cottrell Road, these unsealed roads are within the urban growth area and as such may not exist, will exist on alternate alignments or will be urbanised roads when development occurs. As such, Council will not be sealing or fully constructing these roads in the immediate future. In this regard, how does Tarleton's Road differ to either of these roads? Has Tarleton's Road been removed from the urban growth area? What data was used by Council to determine to seal Tarleton's Road? Mr. Luke Shannon, General Manager, Planning and Development, will respond.
Thank you for the question. Beattie's Road, along with a significant portion of Mount Cottrell Road and also Tarleton's Road, are all within the designated urban growth boundary. The exact future alignment of Beattie's Road and Mount Cottrell Road, where it is north of the freeway, have not yet been determined. These issues will be considered by the Metropolitan Planning Authority when precinct structure plans are prepared for those specific areas. I note, however, that the eastern end of Beattie's Road is included within the current Plumpton precinct structure plan, which is, as you know, under preparation through the Metropolitan Planning Authority at the moment. The precinct structure plan covering most of Tarleton's Road has yet to be undertaken, in particular at the western end of Tarleton's Road. However, it is known that the current Tarleton's Road alignment will form part of the major road corridor connecting Taylor's Hill through to the Melton Township. This alignment is shown in the State Government Growth Corridor Plan from 2012. In terms of Tarleton's Road construction, you'll be aware that that was constructed to a lightweight rural standard by Council around about 1 year ago. In deciding to undertake these works, Council had regard to the fact that the future road alignment is known, as I've referred to earlier, and also had regard to the existing traffic movements throughout that area. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon.
The next question, Madam Mayor, is from Mario Keisha, and Mr. Keisha is in the gallery. Thank you. Okay. So, on that basis, we'll take those questions on notice and provide written responses. They are in relation to a number of things relating to properties in PSP 1080 Cororoit.
Thank you, Mr. Keisha.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, so those two matters that and containing several items will be responded to in writing. Next question is from Mr. David O'Connor. Mr. O'Connor is in the gallery. And he asks, Melton City Council provide our young residents with many praiseworthy programs and locally run initiatives. Would Council please provide a breakdown of programs and initiatives currently available to young people who reside in Diggers Rest and an indication of the number of active participants? This question will be responded to by Mr. Murray Heaney, General Manager, Community Services.
Thank you, Mr. O'Connor, for your question. I'll answer where possible and follow up with further correspondence for you specifically on all programs that we operate in Diggers Rest. But just to mention a few, and I've included young children in this for the sake of the wording of your question. The kindergarten activities and play groups are run out of the Diggers Rest Community Centre, if you like. There's 36 that attend that for 3 or 4 year old kindergartens. Out of that 36, 50% are Diggers Rest residents. The other are around the perimeter of the municipality that wish to access that kindergarten. There is a program operating at the Diggers Rest School, which is a drop-in event every Monday, and we have 2 youth staff that attend that to run programs such as activities and arts, etc. Over and above that, on the Diggers Rest Recreational Reserve, we have the infrastructure that warrants activities there, such as the two ovals, the football, cricket, netball, etc., that operate out of that, and that's, I can't give exact numbers, but I'll follow up with that tomorrow for you. A number of other activities in our community development team, so I will forward you additional correspondence to give you detail of everything we provide at the moment. Thank you, Madam.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Heaney. Next question is also from Mr. O'Connor, and it reads, in accordance with the development contributions plan for Diggers Rest, the construction of a four-way signalised intersection is proposed for Vineyard Road and Houdini Drive. The development of Bloomdale and St Genevieve Estates are now well underway. A number of residents, including the Diggers Rest Fire Brigade, have experienced the entry to Vineyard Road from Houdini Drive as quite difficult and at times unsafe. Vehicles using Vineyard Road bound for the Calder Freeway and Sunbury are given little warning about the intersection. The current lack of a controlled intersection may reinforce the need to reduce the speed limit from the current 80 kilometres per hour speed zone as an interim solution. As part of the local area traffic management study for Diggers Rest, Melton City Council acknowledged the need to advocate for the installation of traffic signals early in the development stages of the expanding township. Given that the developments are performing better than predicted, when does Council expect the installation of the traffic lights to this intersection? Mr. Shannon will respond.
Thank you, Mr. O'Connor, for your question. Firstly, it is really pleasing to see how well the developments have taken place in Diggers Rest. They certainly have been successful. That's obviously of benefit to the developer, but will provide for significant improvements to the township infrastructure-wise, significantly contributed to by the developers. In terms of the specific intersection you refer to, Houdini Drive and Vineyard Road, which is on the northern side, obviously, of the Recreation Reserve, that is designated for traffic lights, which will be paid for by the developer of the Bloomdale Estate. I'll need to provide you further advice, which I'll do in writing, as to when we anticipate that will occur. Obviously, given the fact that the development is selling more quickly than was anticipated, that will bring forward those works, but I'll provide you further particulars on both that and also the issue of the speed limit in Vineyard Road and how that might be managed over the immediate future. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon.
Thank you. And the final question this evening is from Nicholas Gagalakos. Is Mr. Gagalakos in the meeting? No? Okay. Written response will be provided to that question. Thank you, Madam Mayor. That concludes public questions this evening.
Thank you, Mr. Tory. We will now get on to staff reports. We'll commence with item 11.11. The Camp Act to fill extraordinary vacancy.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Mayor. This report is presented to Council to advise in relation to the process undertaken pursuant to Section 37A of the Local Government Act 1989 to fill by Camp Act the extraordinary vacancy resulting from the resignation of Councillor Michael Matuluski. As councillors would be aware, an extraordinary vacancy occurred in the Coburn's Ward of Council with the resignation of Councillor Michael Matuluski. Countback was therefore undertaken by the returning officer, Mr. Peter Long, appointed by the Victorian Electoral Commission for the purpose of filling the extraordinary vacancy. The countback took place on the 25th of March 2015 at Melton Library and Learning Hub, with the successful candidate being Rhiannon Philpott Hale. Ms. Philpott Hale subsequently advised the returning officer that she did not wish to take up the position as councillor and declined to complete the required declaration. Further countback was therefore held on Tuesday, the 31st of March, at the Melton Library and Learning Hub, with the successful candidate being Miles Bentley. The returning officer advised Mr. Bentley, as the successful candidate, of the obligation to complete the candidate declaration, which Mr. Bentley complied with within the 48-hour time limit imposed in the legislation. The returning officer therefore declared the result of the countback at the Civic Centre at 6 p.m. on Wednesday, 1st of April 2015. Councillor Bentley then took the oath of office before myself as Chief Executive Officer in accordance with Section 63, Subsection 2 of the Local Government Act 1989, and a copy of the dated and signed oath of office is appended to this report as Appendix 1. It is a requirement under the Act that the dated and signed oath of office be recorded in the minutes of the Council. The process for filling an extraordinary vacancy on Council is detailed within the Local Government Act, and all provisions have been complied with in this instance in a timely manner. The recommendation, councillors, is for Council note this report and note that the oath of office completed by Councillor Miles Bentley in accordance with Section 63 of the Local Government Act 1989 is to be recorded in the minutes of this Council meeting. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Mr. Goodman, I thought I was chairing the meeting. Not that many. Okay, you've thrown me off. Does any council seek clarification? There was an understanding that the oath was going to be taken last week. That was incorrect. It had already been done. So the evidence is here. So have I got a mover for the recommendation?
Madam Mayor, I'm pleased to move the recommendation that Council note the report and to note that the oath of office completed by Council Miles Bentley in accordance with Section 63 of the Local Government Act 1989 is to be recorded in the minutes of this meeting.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Is there a seconder?
I'd like to second that. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Does anyone oppose? All those in favour? The motion's carried. Congratulations, Councillor Miles Bentley. Would you like to say a couple of words?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, I'd just like to thank the community for this opportunity. I look forward to serving the community for the next 18 months. I thank my fellow councillors for their welcome over the past 3 weeks and their assistance in me finding my feet. I look forward to working with my fellow councillors and the council staff over the next 18 months to deliver whatever the community requires. And I strongly encourage the community to contact me via email or telephone to discuss the issues that are with them so we can work together to delivering what's best for Melton. Thank you.
Now can we give our councillors a big round of applause? Thank you, Mr. Goodman, for wonderful chairing. Okay, and again, congratulations, Councillor Bentley. You're going to be a fantastic addition to this council. 11.2, the authorisation of fixing of the common seal of council.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move in block items 11.2, 11.3, 11.4, 11.5, 11.6, 11.7, 11.8, 11.12 and 11.14, mm-hmm. Accepting all recommendations as put.
Can I just highlight those items again? They're 11.2, 11.3, 11.4, 11.5, 11.6, 11.7, 11.8, 11.12 and 11.14, and the recommendations contained within are to be accepted as printed. This motion has been moved by Councillor Turner. Is there a seconder?
Happy to second that, Madam Mayor.
So we have a motion moved by Councillor Turner, seconded by Councillor Majlik. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? Motion's carried. Thank you. We will now go on to item 11.9, the minutes of the Heritage Advisory Committee meeting dated the 13th of February 2015. I take it Luke will be reporting, Mr. Shannon to report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This report presents to Council the minutes of the Heritage Advisory Committee meeting from the 13th of February of this year. Council will be aware that the Heritage Advisory Committee provides, as the name suggests, advice and recommendations to Council on all matters heritage of relevance to the municipality. And the committee continue to do good work on behalf of Council, making solid recommendations. Madam Mayor, the key issue, if I could point out, in the minutes of the committee meeting on page 60 of the Council agenda relates to the Heritage Awards, mm-hmm. which is an annual award which is handed out during Heritage Week, and that's occurring as we speak. In fact, there's an official event to be held on Thursday night of this week. As detailed on page 60 of the report, Madam Mayor, there was one nomination received this year for the Heritage Award, which was in relation to the Toolan Vale Naturalist Hut, which is located in Hog Road in Toolan Vale. Mm-hmm. That runs off the Diggers Rest Kermida Road at the northern end of the municipality. The hut has been, which is used for bird watching, has been in place since the 1930s and is still in use. So I think, Madam Mayor, it's a would be a worthy award winner. It was also recognised in the Melton Heritage Study as being of regional significance, which places it at a fairly high value in terms of its significance to the municipality. So, Madam Mayor, if I can present the recommendation to Council as presented on page 57 of the officer's report. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Does any Councillor seek further clarification? Is there a mover for the recommendation?
I'd like to move that recommendation, thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Do we have a seconder for the motion?
I'm happy to second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Majlik. We have a mover being Councillor Dunn, a seconder being Councillor Majlik. Does anyone oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? The motion's carried. Thank you. Item 11.10 of our staff reports is the proposed Scout Environment Education and Activity Centre, Burnside Heights Recreation Reserve. Mr. Heaney to present.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'll provide you an overview on this request from the Scouts. It's an initiative that's been in conversation for some time between Council officers and the Scouts group down at Caroline Springs, where officers have been approached some time ago with a preference of having a facility in the Burnside Heights area. For their needs, at the moment, the Scouts activity down there has around about 100 Scouts that attend the Scouts groups in various facilities down in the Eastern Corridor and mainly Caroline Springs and north of that. The Scouts have put a proposal to establish and construct a what's called a Scouts Environmental and Education Activity Centre, so a facility that will obviously allow provision for Scouts but also have a focus on environmental education of those Scouts. The request is from the Scouts that their preferred site is on the Burnside Heights Recreational Reserve, just abutting the creek and where the two ovals are and the recreational activities are at the moment, and is across the road from the Croyt Creek Primary School. The preference is that the Scouts would prefer to purchase a parcel of land. Parcel of land identified as around about 3,500 square metres that they're interested in securing from Council, and their letter is attached as an appended document to this report. If I can just point the Councillors towards the appended documents on page 73, which is the recreational reserve itself, which shows the two ovals and the current council facilities that are on that site that services those ovals in the way of cricket, community use and football and other general activity. The site proposed is just to the right-hand side of the large oval and is the 3,500 square metres. The Scouts' preference, as I said, is to have council, if you like, gift the land or rezone the land and subdivide the land for the purpose of having independence from the Scouts, so their preference is to own the site in one way or another. Appendix 2 shows you specifically the yellow area that is indicated at the moment, and councils need to note that this is just an approximate area because there's been no firm designs completed for the Scout Centre at the moment, although the Scouts have referred into officers a couple of documents in Appendix 2 of what sort of facility, if you like, they're looking at, and some rough elevations. But again, still early days, early design, and early conversations with the Scouts. They go on right through the appended document. The other thing for councillors to note is council has endorsed a master plan previously on this site, which can be altered at any time, by the way, councillors. And at the same time that you can see we've delivered the ovals, we've delivered the community facility, the recreational facilities, there's a bit more work to do as council seems fit to fund the master plan, which is always hard for council to fund everything. The purpose of the Education and Environmental Centre is that the Scouts are saying that, it would be a Scout Centre, but at the same time that the centre would be open for general community use for access, and that's yet to be resolved. So from the planning side of it, the officers have been doing a fair bit of work with the Scouts. The Scouts also approached the councillors on the consultation days, if you like, on two occasions to, I suppose, put their case forward, and then have followed up with the documentation required to take it to council for a decision. So that's probably it in a nutshell, councillors. The Scouts have put forward on the proposal that if they secure a site, and I need to reinforce that if they secure a site that they own, at the moment that they will fund the building of this facility, estimated in their correspondence at the minute to be around about $800,000 or $900,000, is an educated guess from the Scouts, but yet to be finalised and determined. The officers' recommendations are saying at the moment that we have further conversations with the Scouts on this initiative. The officers think it's a great initiative. It's probably a terrific site as far as the Burnside Heights Activity Centre, if you like, and what's there at the moment. It is the preferred site of the Scouts, and the Scouts have identified this site as their number one site in Victoria to get establishment on and fund, so that's a good thing from the Scouts' point of view. We're saying at the moment that we do not support, from an officer's point of view, the subdivision of, and the transferring of the title of the parcel of land, but we have further conversations with the Scouts on in-principle agreement on the initiative, but to look along the lines of a lease arrangement, which would be a long-term lease arrangement to be determined by the Chief Executive and Council at a point in time. But in principle, I think the Education and Environmental Centre, or Environment and Education Centre, is a great initiative for that end of our municipality. So I put forward you the four recommendations at the moment, councillors, on page 67 for you to consider this evening. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr Heaney. Does any councillor require any further clarification? Is there a mover for the recommendation?
I'd like to move that recommendation. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. The mover of the motion is Councillor Dunn, and Councillor Turner.
I'm happy to second.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. The motion has been moved by Councillor Dunn, seconded by Councillor Turner. Does any councillor oppose the recommendation? All those in favour of the recommendation? The recommendation is carried. Thank you. 11.11, Emergency Relief Funding Outcome, to be presented by Mr Heaney.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Councillors, just a quick overview on the success, if you like, of some federal government money that the officers have achieved and this council's achieved through advocacy. It relates to $553,000 over a term of the 1st of March this year to the 30th of June 2017. And that money is to utilise for what we call emergency relief. It is money that will be funded to us via the Department of Social Services, i.e. the federal government, and it's utilised to assist certain members of our community who need assistance. For example, And I'll give you some numbers here because they're not in the report, but I think it's worthy that last year we assisted over 1,440 families with staff support and obviously this financial relief support. This year to date we're up to 834 already up to March. I suppose the good news of this is the federal government reviewed all of the money that it allocates out to emergency relief in general and organisations, and the officers put forward a pretty firm case that we still should secure that money and have been successful in doing so. So I think it's a good news story from the point of view of securing the money from the federal government, but even a better news story that we can assist some of the families that require it at hard times. Thanks, Madam Mayor. I put forward you the two recommendations.
Thank you, Mr. Heaton. Does any councillor require further clarification? Actually, Mr. Heaney, if I could ask, what are the amounts on average, or what do they normally?
They vary, Madam Mayor, from as low as $20 but up to $400 to $500, depending on circumstances of each individual at any one time. Okay. And the way that we don't give out cash as officers, we give out vouchers, supermarket vouchers, petrol vouchers, vouchers for food, etc., and maybe vouchers for education at that time. Every circumstance determines a different amount.
Thank you, Mr. Heaney. Councillor Majlis.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. In regards to intervening with the families that are requiring this support, what kind of information does council keep, or not so much council keeping, but what kind of intervention do we offer? Do we just give them the voucher and off they go, or are they on our database, you know, for us to check up on every now and again?
The latter, Councillor Majlik, and it's not that they just come in and be assessed and give a voucher. We'll refer on, and for example, we may refer on to our internal housing team if it's accommodation-related issues over and above this. We may refer on to Children's Services, or we may refer on, and a lot of occasions, mostly we refer on to our partners in the state government for support services. So the first stage is intervention, and intervention is about us assisting that family through a journey. So it's not just handing the voucher and that's the business finished.
Any further clarification? Is there a mover for the recommendation?
I'm happy to move the recommendation, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Majlik.
Madam Mayor, I'll second that.
Let's give him a round of applause, Councillor Bentley. Okay, the motion before us has been moved by Councillor Majlik, seconded by Councillor Bentley. Does anybody oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? The motion's carried. Thank you. 11:13 is the next item on our agenda, also to be presented by Mr. Heaney.
Thank you, Madam Mayor and Councillors. A quick overview on this one. Officers were approached some time ago from an organisation that's called Scope, with an opportunity to look at office space within the municipality and preferably a vacant site that we have at 237 Station Road at the moment that was originally used for early intervention and children's services. Scope is one of the providers that provides early intervention to our families in the municipality and is one of many providers. What Scope provides is family support to families for children who have had a disability or development delays. The service specifically is tailored around to meet the individual needs of that child and is focused on supporting the child in the natural environment and their everyday experience or activities. The service also provides assistance to those families who require it with issues and assessing services where the child requires it. For an example, some of the services that Scope deliver, along with other early intervention services, are occupation therapists, speech pathologists, physios, psychologists, and, of course, the teachers and inclusion support specialists. It's proposed at the moment that the site is at 237 Station Road, as noted, and that's a diagram of that, councillors, for your reference, is appended on page 103. So the area in red is the subject area of a lease proposal. I think this supports what we've been trying to do over the last few years to bring early service, other service providers into the city. And we'll continue to do that. We've had a couple of success stories in the past, but this is another one where we think it's an opportunity for Scope to come in and grow their business and hopefully get bigger and bolder to provide that much-needed support for the families that require it, with the assistance from other providers in the city. But, Madam Mayor, it's really just to put forward you the two recommendations, and that is to endorse approval for Scope Service to enter into that lease agreement for the office space located at 237 Station Road, and that's Appendix 1, and endorse a term of the lease for us to set up for initially for 2 years, but we'll have a further 2 year options for them to exercise at discretion of us and the council. So the more services we can get in, Madam Mayor, the better for this community. Thank you.
Does any council seek further clarification? Can I ask just one really quick question? How much room is there for Scope, and do we know as yet what they're planning on providing from that centre?
Yep, early intervention. We're in conversations with them at the moment, pending, obviously, the endorsement of this report this evening, Madam Mayor. We'll have office space staff around about six initially. Okay. There is room for them to expand at that site and have access to other services, so we'll be talking to them. Scope currently provides assistance to over 100 families and supporting schools around the city, so...
Fantastic.
I think it's good news, but they have room to expand.
Thank you, Mr. Heaney. Does any council seek further clarification? Is there a move for the recommendation?
It's better. Madam Mayor, I'm happy to move this recommendation, and I think it just shows council's direction in inviting and assistant groups to come into Melton to help our community. This group will strengthen the service delivery in another area that we badly need services.
Thank you, Councillor Turner, and well said. The motion's been moved by Councillor Turner. Who would like to second the motion?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Turner, seconded by Councillor Cugliari. Does anyone oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? Motion's carried. Thank you. Okay, item 11.15, the preparation of the Municipal Budget 2015-2016. Please forgive me, Shan, if I just call you Shan, to report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Thank you also for giving me the privilege to present this report. The purpose of the report is to endorse the draft 2015-16 Municipal Budget and commence the statutory process to exhibit the draft budget and receive submissions. The Section 127 of the Local Government Act requests that the Council must prepare a budget for each financial year. The officers have prepared the draft budget for 15-16 financial year in accordance with the requirement of the Local Government Act. The draft budget is attached as an Appendix 1 from page 129 to 240 of this report. The budget preparation process began in December 2014. Two community engagement sessions were conducted during February to receive community input to the budget. Officers and councillors spent a significant amount of time in developing the draft budget presented tonight. The budget proposes a 4.4% increase in total rates and charges income. This is from the 2014-15 level. Mm-hmm. A net borrowing of $610,000 for the financial year proposed, and a $5 increase in council pensioner rebate to eligible properties. This brings the pensioner rebate to $70 per property. This is in addition to $208 rebate currently provided by the state government. Over 6,000 pensioners will benefit from this initiative. Capital expenditure of $25.4 million in the areas of community buildings, roads, infrastructure, and recreational assets. A major list of projects are given in page 25 of the report, and also a full listing of all the capital projects is provided in pages 214 to 216 in Appendix C. There's no change proposed to the existing differential rating structure in the draft budget. The next process is to make the draft budget available for the public to comment in accordance with Section 223 of the Local Government Act. The Council will receive public submission up to 22nd of May, and the Section 223 Submission Committee will consider this submission on the 2nd of June. It is expected that the final budget will be adopted on the 23rd of June. It is a requirement of the Act that the budget to be adopted by the 30th of June each year. So it's, I'm presenting the recommendation to Council as stated in the reports. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Shan. Does any councillor seek clarification? Councillor Majerlik.
Yes, Madam Mayor. As we all know, there's talk about local governments capping rates at CPI. A question to either of the executive. If council were to drop rates down to CPI level, what would be the shortfall in the budget?
One percent rate is approximately about 900,000. The current CPI is 2.5%. So it's roughly about 1.8 million. It's the difference, a shortfall.
Just to follow up, Madam Mayor. So if council was to go consider capping rates at CPI at this stage, we would either need to remove some items out of the budget or borrow more. Are there any other options that we have?
Or reduce the expenditure.
Yeah. Sorry, just to clarify, when I say drop things out of the budget, I mean reduce expenditure. So, excuse me, please, silence from the gallery. They're entitled... Again, please. Councillor Majerlik, please continue.
As I was saying before I was rudely interrupted, so $1.8 million would be the shortfall, is taking things out of the budget, or in other words, reducing the expenditure, or borrowing more. Are there any other options at this stage?
Andrew, consider that your first warning, please. Thank you. That's your first warning. Please remain silent.
Councillor
yes.
Majerlik, have you finished your question?
Yes, Madam.
Thank you. Shan.
Yeah, additional borrowing is an option, but that will incur council servicing their loans for the next 10 years or 12 years. Okay.
Sorry, Madam Mayor. In other words, interest on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
That's correct.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Majerlik. Thank you, Shan. Please consider that your second and last warning. Okay. Any other clarification sought by councillors? Do we have a mover for the recommendation? Actually, I'm going to stand. As the mayor, I think it's only fitting that I move the recommendation for the municipal budget to go out on draft, and the contents contained within, and allow the community now to judge and put submissions into the 223. So moved. Is there a seconder for the budget?
I'd like to second the budget, Madam Mayor.
We have a mover for the budget being myself and seconded by Councillor Turner. Does anyone oppose the motion? Councillor Carley. We'll go into debate. Does anyone oppose me sitting for this one? Because I have been feeling rather woozy today. So if I can get councillors to exempt me from standing, is that okay? Thank you. When it comes to a draft budget, you look at all the priorities for the municipality. I was at both of the community budget engagement days, and I met with several of the community groups and have had subsequent meetings with a lot of the supporting clubs and a lot of the submitters into the budget. We had virtually an 8 to 9 hour day on a weekend where we went through the fundamentals, and we felt it was a very realistic, modest budget. There's not very many grand plans about introducing too much more capital infrastructure. It's about finishing off the stuff that we've already implemented and taking stock of the environment that's out there and providing a modest increase that allows us to keep pace with the growth. Please remove yourself from the chamber. Please remove yourself from the chamber. And Andrew, please. Please get up and move, please. I don't want to waste police resources on someone outspoken. You've made your point. Please remove yourself from the chamber. Thank you. When it comes to a municipal budget, it's got to be fair to all. And we've got to keep in pace with the growth. I will say that there's been a lot of political bantering. The state government even ran on the context of capping rates to CPI. We've been told that that CPI is running, depending on who you ask, between 1.8 and 2.5%. Now, this municipal city has got a lot of growth demands, and to cap rates at CPI, which is basically a measure for milk and bread, I have never built a community centre on milk and bread. I don't strike the EB, but our staff get paid a lot more than 2.5. So where do they want us to start? The state government put up lollipop ladies. You'd have to be a pretty brave council to knock off all the lollipop ladies, because it's their initiative. It costs council about $480,000. How much does the state government, their initiative, put in? About 70. There's a lot of cost shifting, and I could go on for hours and hours about that discussion and that debate. But in a growth council, we're modest. It's a modest rate increase. It's nothing alarming. We'll work with the Essential Services Commission, and we'll continue to deliver the services this growing community needs to be well-resourced and well-looked after. And on that, I'll commend that to the community for public exhibition. Okay, Councillor Carley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. As in previous years, I've always indicated my preferences for budget increases to be capped at CPI, a position which I'm happy to say is shared by the current Labor government. As this is the only a draft budget, I'm interested to hear what our residents' thoughts are on this budget. I just also want to read from a media release which I was given today. The Minister warns councils to get back to basics. Local councils have been warned that they need to rein in excess and get back to basics. Minister for Local Government Natalie Hutchins has cautioned local councils against using the Andrews Labor Government's Fair Go rate cap as an excuse to cut vital staff and services while they continue to waste money on excessive executive pay and councillors' spending. Ms Hutchins said rate capping would not come into effect until 2016-17, and that any council attempting to blame rate capping on staff or service cuts was failing to be honest with its local community. Ms Hutchins said rather than trying to blame their own budgeting decisions on the cap, councils should instead consider community need and engage with the Labor government's consultation process. The consultation being managed by the Essential Services Commission will consult widely with the local government sector, stakeholders and the community. The ESC is also developing a framework for the policy to ensure councils can provide important services programs while cutting wastes. Councils seeking to increase their rates above inflation will be given the opportunity to make their case before the Essential Services Commission with reasonable requests considered. As committed to before the election, the Labor government will ensure a fair go for ratepayers by capping council rates at the rate of inflation. Our rate cap is more than a year away. Blaming any cuts to essential services on capping is unfair and dishonest to local communities. This is not about cutting staff and services. It is about encouraging councils to get back to the things that matter to their communities. Councils need to put a stop to the overtop executive pay rises and needless waste. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Councillor Turner.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. It's always a difficult time of the year for councillors when it comes to striking a budget. We've got to weigh up what's good for the community, what's good for council, and what's good for the rates. We need to deliver services. We need to deliver capital works. We're a growing area. A growth council as such. The Essential Service Commission is being set up to assist councils like Melton who are in a growth area. I believe next year when we are forced to look at capping the rates at CPI, I believe we will achieve more than CPI next year because we can prove that we need the services out here. We need a lot more than just basic services. What we need as a community to be starting to push the state government and start getting more services out here. What about our duplicated rail line? We need you guys as a community to start getting behind us. We can't lead the charge. You guys need to lead the charge. We need a duplicated rail line. We need more schools. We need lots of stuff out here that the state government and federal government should pay for. We're keeping about our end of the bargain. It's very difficult to go in there and say we want 4.4% increase. But we know that as a council, we can't deliver even the basic services we deliver now if we don't increase at least 4.4% this year. We would have to cut things. As Shan said, 1.8 million would be the hole if we were dropping 2%. Where are we going to take the 1.8? You guys, anybody in the community, just pick. Pick what you want to take out of the budget and write to us and tell us. If the community wants it taken out and wants a lower budget, we'll do it. But I don't believe they do. I believe the community understands. I believe the community understands their needs. Please keep quiet and let me finish. You get plenty of times. I didn't ask now. Well, okay. Madam Mayor, I'll finish up there. I think you know where I'm going.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Any other councillor would like to speak? Well, against or for? I'll take any councillor that wants to speak at this point.
Madam Mayor, I do believe that this budget is fair and responsible. In fact, a few of the comments that Councillor Carley mentioned, and I understand where she's coming from. I mean, it's party aligned, so that's fair enough, and she needs to stand on her party alignment. But the current state government should actually look at their own backyard when they're talking about wastage and cost shifting. They spent a damn lot of money on that Mikey that is still not up and running. And what about the fat cat pensions that ministers get or even state federal members get once they leave federal state government? You know, there is a lot of wastage, Madam Mayor, and I think the state government should start looking in their own backyard. As always, the community, as we've said, have an opportunity to speak on this draft budget. It's $1.8 million. Some of the initiatives are actually Councillor Carley's initiatives. Is she willing to cut those initiatives
out? Point of order, Madam Mayor.
Sorry.
Point of order.
Councillor Madge, could you sit down?
Thank you.
Please. Point of order is?
Which initiatives are mine, Councillor Madge? Could you please stay?
Madam Mayor, the pedestrian crossing in Hume Drive, I believe Councillor Carley's name was attached to that when we were talking about it in draft budget.
Attached. Whether that's the word. Continue.
Okay. Madam Mayor, am I allowed to continue considering you're the chair and Councillor Carl is not?
The point of order
thank you.
Has been answered.
And also there was another initiative with her name attached to it, which was a tennis table attached to it, yes? And I do believe that...
Councillor...
And I do believe, and I do recall... Sorry, Councillor Carley, this is my time to speak.
Well, I'll call a point of order again. Sorry, Councillor Maitley, because when you're speaking about the tennis table, or my name that was attached to that, that was a resident who had contacted me, who didn't have access to the internet, and I had put that forward as a as an initiative for her. So when you speak about attached and what my initiatives were, I hope you'd get them right and not mislead the community. Thank you.
Thank you. Madam Mayor, as I was continuing to say...
I'm not ruling on any point of orders at the moment because I think we've gone a little bit. I think it was the point of order was given, the answer was received.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'll continue with my discussion. Mm-hmm. My point is there was at no time did Councillor Carley say, no, we're wasting too much money, let's cut these out of the budget. That's what I'm getting mm-hmm. at, Madam Mayor, whether her name was attached or the initiatives were there. Her name was attached to those initiatives. That's what I'm trying to get to. Going back to my debate, Madam Mayor, as always, the community do have an opportunity to give their feedback on this draft budget. $1.8 million is what we need to get rid of, or we can borrow, which means interest, and it also means our children are stuck with the grunt of it for many years to come. So, Madam Mayor, I'm all for this draft budget and I look forward to Section 223s as well as comments from the community.
Thank you, Councillor Majlik. Does any other councillor wish to address or speak to this motion? Okay, my right of reply. Okay. I'm going to get to a very simple point. The letter that was read out by Councillor Carley, and I understand why she read that letter out, because it was sent to each of the councillors and the mayors. It was a very generalised letter. It goes to 79 different councils. I've been on this council now for 14 years and never have we put wastage through these budgets. We have tried to keep rates as low as possible whilst being financially responsible in a growth corridor. We have met with the Minister for Local Government and she said in front of our executive and our advocacy manager, you will be putting a submission into the Essential Services Commission because you're part of a growth corridor and a growth council and these things are to be expected. The example the said minister in that media release was talking about some huge dollar initiatives in other regional municipalities that went bung and some overpriced or overpaid CEOs in other municipalities. Never once was an initiative tagged for the Melton that was brought under question. Now, you're going to like some of the councillor initiatives, you're not going to like others of them. Community are going to accept some of them, community aren't going to see the value of others. It's whether they get usage or not. They will decide in their own turn. This is a draft budget. I feel it's responsible. I feel it is well in line with every other strategic plan that's going out there at the moment, and that is also something the Essential Services and the Ministers have asked us to keep mindful of. And our strategic and financial plan says we should be getting a 6% increase. So we've reduced that as well. Now, I know there is one really special initiative close to Councillor Carley's heart, which is Hume Drive. I asked the question, how long are you prepared, or the duplication of Hume Drive, how long are you prepared to wait for that duplication to occur if we have to cap rates at something that is 1.8 or 2%? How long are you prepared to sacrifice your community to see that happen? That's a question.
Can I respond? You asked me how long I've moved that motion and none of my fellow councillors supported that except for Councillor Quagliari.
No, I'm asking how long in time frame.
Well, Madam Mayor, I mean...
Because at 1.8 to 2.5% increases with CPI, a duplication of such a major road is going to take many years.
Madam Mayor, I wish you would have asked me this question when we were first elected, when we didn't waste all that money.
Are you going to answer the question or are you going to lobby?
I am please. Answering the question. Yes, I'm saying that if you would have
asked... Are you prepared to sacrifice your community for many years to come? Capping rates?
Can I please answer the question as I feel that I want to? Respond to your question. Mm. So this is my answer. Mm. You spoke before about finishing everything that we've already committed. Therefore, all the projects, Madam Mayor, and the question that you asked me, you should have asked me when we first got elected onto this council, when you didn't push through those big capital works projects that costed quite a lot of money that we're still paying for now. We're still paying for now.
Okay. So you didn't answer the question, but I'll take that as you're prepared to allow your community to be sacrificed with the duplication of Hume Drive taking a lot longer. At the end of the day, when it comes down to it, this is a reasonable, and it's been proven to be a reasonable, responsible financial budget. Some people are going to like some of the outcomes, some people aren't again. The 223 process is a mechanism where the community can come and speak to the things they do endorse and the things they want endorsed more. I look forward to that process. Thank you.
Madam Mayor, if I just may...
Is this a point of order?
A point of order, yes,
because
Madam
I've
Mayor.
Now closed discussion.
Okay, well, point of order, Madam Mayor. You spoke about when I was reading off a letter. I just wanted to say that it was not a letter. I want that on the record. It's actually a media release that I'm reading from. That's,
okay.
A
media release that was generalising the whole of the 79 councils, not one in particular. Okay, thank you. That brings a close to the discussion. And I will now put it to the vote. All those in favour of the budget, the recommendation moved by Councillor Ramsay, seconded by Councillor Turner. All those against. A division's called. All those in favour, Councillor Ramsay, Councillor Majlik, Councillor Cugliari, Councillor Dunn, Councillor Bentley, Councillor Turner. All those against, Councillor Carley. Isn't there a motion of civil division for all? Okay, I thought it was. Well, I thought it. Okay. Right, let's find our pages. Sorry? 241. Okay, we'll go on to now. After that discussion, we'll go on to the reports from delegates appointed to other bodies. And this evening, I know there's been a six-week gap between meetings, so please forgive us if we go on a little bit longer than normal. But Councillor Dunn, would you like to give us your highlights?
Mine should be shorter because I've been on holidays. I've actually attended on the 20th of March the Calder Highway Improvement Committee. It's the first time that I attended that committee, and that's going to be quite interesting to see the way forward with that committee. On the 10th of April, I attended the Heritage Advisory Committee, and as Luke said tonight, that the Heritage Awards are this Thursday night, and I really push people to participate in the Heritage Week because there's a lot of fantastic things, especially this year. The last thing that we've got is the Heritage Awards and the Man They Call Banjo, which is happening on Saturday night. So if you haven't got your tickets, I'd recommend that you... Friday night. Sorry. Thank you, Carolyn. I'm still on holiday mode. And on the 20th of which was last night, Ravenhall Prison Project, CAG, I attended that where they gave us an update on the prison, how it's travelling. We looked at a modelled cell and also design of the new walls. Thank you.
Okay, Councillor Cugliari.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I attended two monthly grant assessment meetings and I also attended to a Reconciliation Advisory Committee. The discussions that were raised during the Reconciliation Advisory Committee was the the Rivers to Recognition. The committee was updated on the progress of the Rivers to Recognition initiative. For those who don't know what it's all about, the Rivers to Recognition aims to raise awareness of the Constitution Recognition Campaign and encourage discussion around other ways Aboriginal cultures and languages can be celebrated and respected in the wider community. We also discussed Reconciliation Week, which the theme for this year is It's Time to Change It Up. And we also looked into the Reconciliation Advisory Committee terms of reference. And that's it.
Thank you, Councillor Cleary. Councillor Matchley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I just attended the Disability Advisory Committee, which the minutes were in today's agenda. I just wanted to touch upon, though, that we had a special guest speaker from Belgravia, which is obviously the people that manage Melton Waves. His name was Michael Graham, and he was informing the committee that there has been an appointment made for an inclusion officer for at least 5 hours per week at Melton Waves. So this is to help increase the access to our community members living with disabilities, and it includes special gyms, training sessions, dance groups, and, of course, the very popular Kickstart program. So it's great news, Madam Mayor, for our residents who live with disability daily, and I'm sure it'll encourage them to become very active. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Matchley. Councillor Carley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. There was only one council, one committee meeting, but it was cancelled, so that was a youth council meeting. So I didn't attend that one because it was cancelled.
That's fine. Thank you. Councillor Turner.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Funny enough, I had a few committees cancelled as well. One of them was the youth one. I can't remember what the other two were. However, I did attend three in the last month. On the 8th of the 4th, I attended the Culturally and Linguistically Diverse Committee. And the night was basically spent going over the terms of reference and discussions on how to fill vacancies that have appeared on the committee, and also the number of community groups we should have on the committee as well. So that was quite an interesting night, but that was it for the night. On the 12th, can't get my dates right, can I? On the 12th, we went to the Metropolitan Local Waste Forum in the city. It's a bi-monthly meeting. The election of the chair for the forum, and the election of council representatives to SPAG were all happened on the night. There was a revision of the MLWG's operating guidelines and the revision of the SPAG terms of reference. On the night, we had one of the TAG members, Natasia Purser. She gave a presentation on national television and computer recycling, and a submission that's going in and was endorsed on the night. And also there was a few other discussions regarding matters recycling and the like. And that was that. And on the 13th, Monday the 13th, I attended the Arts and Culture Advisory Committee. We had two new members just joined the committee, which was Melissa Condello and Mark Gillett. And look to these two, I think they're going to be really good on this committee. They're very much, I think Mark is very much into the arts and the painting and stuff like that, and Melissa is more from the musical side, singing and stuff like that. I think she runs a musical school in Caroline Springs. But most of the discussion on the night was regarding the branding of Imagine Melton, which is going to be the branding for the arts in Melton. And it's going to be all sorts of arts. It's not just paintings. It's any type of art you can do, whether it's singing, playing dominoes, whatever you call an art, it'll be included. And there's a huge, a massive amount of work that's been done on the arts in Melton and everything. That some of the things you wouldn't initially think of as art, but if anybody would like to have a look at it, they can have a look after the meeting. And that's fine, Madam Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Councillor Bedley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Given my limited time on council, Madam Mayor, I haven't had the opportunity to attend any committees. However, I wish to assure my fellow councillors and the community that I have obtained a list of committees and plan on attending at the invite of my fellow councillors any committees which they believe I would be suitable for, in the hope of time when it comes around to being appointed, I'd be able to take up those positions. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Well said, Councillor Bentley. Okay, Councillor Turner told me to be short and sharp, but he took a liberal amount of time. So I attended two Western Base meetings on behalf of Council, one of which I chaired, the Road Safety Westgate Times 2, WAVES reference group meeting, which Councillor Majlik's already referred to the highlight from, the Interface Council with our CEO, Mr Tory. There's a lot of lobbying and a lot of visiting ministers and giving the ministers the highlights. And those interactions and meetings are still going on. We've had the Community Safety Committee, the PDAC Committee, and the CEO Performance Review Committee. And if anyone wants further details, please don't hesitate to ask me. Having got those underway, we'll now move to the record assembly of councillors in accordance with Section 80A1 of the Local Government Act.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move a recommendation that the record of assembly of councillors attached to this agenda dated 17th of March, 24th of March, 7th of April and 14th of April 2015 be received and noted.
Thank you. I have a mover for that recommendation. Does any is there a seconder?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor. It's been moved by Councillor Bentley. Moved by Councillor Majlik, seconded by Councillor Bentley. All those in favour? Thank you. Carried. Right. Now we'll move on to, if I can get to the page, the public address of each councillor. Councillor Majlik, would you like to go first?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I attended the Melton Willows Mayoral Ladies High Tea event. It was really, really good. The feedback was great. It was a wonderful opportunity to show our appreciation to all the wonderful women who make our great community. I also attended the full-day councillor budget briefing day. As the residents know, we've discussed the budget in great detail and worked hard to try and get the right balance between our population growth, our growing and young community, and obviously the pressures that our families struggle with every day. It was a great opportunity for councillors to discuss any concerns they had, especially in regards to rate increase. I attended the Boronia Drive Dog Club with my fellow councillor, Councillor Dunn, and yourself, Madam Mayor. Although it was very extremely cold, but it was a great it's a great service that this group provide for our community. It's about teaching dog owners how to be responsible pet owners, which is fantastic, and they were very, very obedient, so I was very impressed. And finally, I attended the VLGA Governance by Design, which was a great presentation on how we can encourage our young residents to be more involved in our community, with a view to encourage them into community leadership roles. And this is a dear and near passion of mine as an initiator of the Young Council Committee. So, it was good to hear some of the strategies that we can use to help encourage our young people to perhaps one day be our future council. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Fantastic. Thank you, Councillor Majlik. Councillor Carley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, before I give my public address, I'd just like to acknowledge somebody who's in the gallery joining us this evening, Despina, who I know was the founder and also past president of Autism Angels, who in our community we all know do such great work with parents with children with disabilities. So thank you for joining us this evening, Despina. Madam Mayor, on the 13th of March, I attended the Women's in Melton's High Tea event. I think all us female councillors attended that event. On the 14th of March, I also attended the budget discussions day. On the 27th of March, I attended the Join the Dots Aboriginal Community Fete, which was held here in the Melton Town Hall. On the 17th of April, which was last Friday, I attended the YAC Youth Grants and Awards Night. Can I just say that was absolutely a fantastic night. Congratulations to the whole 29 grant recipients and also to the award winners. And on the 19th of April, which was on Sunday, I attended the first Anzac March. Madam Mayor, with yourself and Councillor Turner, was the first march held for the Anzacs in Caroline Springs. It was absolutely an honour to be part of it. It was a great turnout, I think, for a first march, and I look forward to next year. And I'm sure it's just going to get bigger and bigger as the years pass. So thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Farley. Councillor Quigley-Ari.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd just like to highlight an event that actually touched my heart, which was the Anzac Centenary tribute production titled We Will Remember Them. This was a musical tribute to the centenary of World War I and 100-year anniversary of the Anzac landing at Gallipoli. The show follows the stages of war, including the impact on those at home. War is declared and the troops enlist. They train and go into battle, rest and resume battle until the war ends. This was a 3-hour show, and I must say it was just an incredible, and I think there's just no words that describe it. It was magnificent.
That's fantastic.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Quigley-Ari. Councillor Dunn.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I too attended the Women in Melton High Tea, held at their beautiful Willows. Nice to see that facility being used for such a lovely day. On the 14th, I also attended the budget discussion. It was a long day, very draining. On the 15th, I attended, along with yourself and Councillor Medley, the official opening of the Caroline Springs Dog Club, and I promised to take my dogs back there because they're just not trained at all. The only problem is they train the owner, not the dogs. That's why I haven't gone. On the 13th of April, part of Heritage Week, which I'm a great candidate, admirer of, I attended the Shrine of Remembrance, and I haven't been there since I was a brownie, so it certainly well has changed since those early days. They've now got built underneath, and they've got one of the actual boats that was involved in the Gallipoli landing. Very, very, if you haven't never been there, I'd recommend that you attend it because it's a very fantastic monument. They don't single out an individual at all because they look at the overall mass of men and women that were actually involved in all our wars. And on the 17th of April, I attended the YAC Awards, and I must say that there was great talent, very inspiring youth, and I just wish I could move like the hip-hop girls.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn, and I've seen you move better. Councillor Turner.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. It's been another interesting month, as always. It's always a pleasure being a councillor in Melton. There's so much to see and do. Attended the Harmony Day on the 21st of March. That was a great day with all the different community groups there on the day. With the food, beautiful food. I like my food. And the dancing, the music. It was a really great day. Afterwards, I was there with yourself. Afterwards, we went to the Melton Secondary College 40th anniversary, which was a big milestone for the school. That was on the Saturday. On the Sunday, we attended the pop culture along with yourself, the Live on the Jetty. It was the jazz on the jetty, basically, at Caroline Springs, and that was it was really good to see, and there was quite a good turnout on the day. On the 29th of March, attended the Lincoln Melton South Party in the Park, which is a great initiative, which is trying to revitalise parts of Melton. With a lot of things happening on the day, we took a little boxing man and some punching mitts, and I had all the kids doing it. It was fantastic. I had a great day. Don't know about anybody else. On the 4th of April, I attended this Sinhala and Hindu New Year festival. I did only stay for a couple hours, but it was a good festival. I attended last year. They do sports there. It was a whole day, but I didn't stay for the day, I must admit. On the 12th of the 4th, I think that was Greek Easter, on behalf of yourself, Madam Mayor, I attended the Sri Durga Arts, Cultural and Education Centre. and I learned a little bit about from the Swami Ramdev Ji. He taught me some yoga and meditation. The guy must have been a really good comedian because everybody was laughing. Unfortunately, I don't speak Indian, so I didn't get much of it. But they promised me they're going to translate it on the tape and let me hear it, so I'm looking forward to that. But I can teach you all a bit of breathing outside when we're finished, if you like, some special breathing techniques he taught me. What have we got left? Yes, Yak Night, the Grants Awards night, was fantastic last Friday night. On Sunday morning, we did, with yourself, the Anzac March, which was an inaugural one at Carling Springs, which was fantastic. And on Sunday afternoon, a few of us attended the Anzac Centenary Tribute production, run by, I'm sure Madam Mayor will have it all down pat, but it was the Sunbury Choral Society, yeah. It was not what you'd expect from a choral society, because it was actually more a play than just a singing, and it was a really great effort. On Tuesday, it's Tuesday the 16th, oh sorry, Thursday, can't even read my own writing, I attended the Sons of the West, I actually signed up for the Sons of the West health program, you can see, look at me, yeah? And, but unfortunately you can tell I've not got too many meetings. But I did go to the Heart Foundation one last Thursday night, that's the first one I've managed since I started it, but that was me for the month. It was a really enjoyable month though.
Before you sit down, I see there's a...
Yes, Madam Mayor, I've got this to present to you, if you can get it the right way around. It's
come on, before it's open. Yeah, it's received.
Sorry, it's received.
Come on.
For present. I have to read out what it is, Madam. Okay. Do you want to read it yourself?
No,
okay.
No. I'm going to... Oh, thank you. You can't half tell I'm really excited about this one. And so is the rest of council. The Institute of Public Works Engineering Australia, Victoria Division, gave the Western Base the Award of Excellence for 2015 for a capital project over $1 million. And we haven't even opened it yet. It's a state-of-the-art building. It's environmentally, sustainably friendly. And thank you, Luke, for accepting it on behalf of council. One down. First one, we haven't even started. Thank you, Councillor Turner. Councillor Bentley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I assure you mine is much shorter than everybody else's, unfortunately. However, I did attend the Friends of the Melton Botanic Garden monthly meeting on the 8th of April, and I'm great to report that the Botanic Gardens is coming along great. They are now developing the West Australian, South Australian bed, and I look forward to seeing that develop and grow in the future. I also attended, with my fellow councillors, the Youth Advisory Committee Grants and Awards Night. It was a fantastic night to see the youth and the leaders coming through and recognise those. There's a lot of proud faces in our young community, and it's glad to give them some recognition for the work that they do. I also attended, again with my fellow councillors, the We Will Remember Them, the Anzac tribute on the 19th of April. I wish I could put it as well as Councillor Cugliari. However, it was a great musical tribute, feeling the emotion that our diggers went through song, was a great tribute to what they did. I'd just like to say thank you to the Melton City Council for making that available to our community, and thank you to the Sunbury Choral Society for their work. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
And I think you've got something to present too, haven't you, Councillor Bentley?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Yes, after the Western Base Award, it's a hard act to follow. However, we did, in the same awards, the Institute for Public Works Engineering Australia, the streetscape upgrade works at Scott Street got recognised as a finalist in the capital project category. So congratulations to those involved with that.
Thank you. Scott Street's a very important project for the township. It was much needed of some TLC, and the community advocate has left the room, so he misses out on the announcement. Don't tell him. Okay, I will be, I'll be long, but I'll get through them as quickly as possible. During the last 6 weeks, I've attended a number of ministers' meetings, a lot of committee meetings with residents, and a lot of council meetings as such. The National Right to School Day down at Mountain South Primary School at Mount Carberry with the Mountain South Primary School. We met with the Minister for Local Government, Natalie Hutchins, and spoke to her about a number of the advocacy issues around our municipality, which is also her municipality. The Women in Melton High Tea, that was a fantastic initiative. It was mine. That's why I know it was good. But I want to thank Council personally for their attendance and also for helping me and the inaugural High Tea to thank and appreciate some of the really decades of work some of the volunteers have put into our wonderful municipality.
Madam Mayor, can I just say, only councillor on duty that wasn't there was me. And I even offered to wear my kilt and you still wouldn't let me come.
No, I rang him out on the eve of that night and said, if you wear your kilt, you're more than welcome to come. I'd also like to add to Councillor Carley's acknowledgements and thank Despina from Autism Angels for attending tonight. So thank you. The Council Executive Budget Day, it was tedious, but it wasn't a disaster, and it seemed to go as a lot smoother because we just didn't have the money to spend. The official opening of the Caroline Springs Dog Club Pavilion, and I'll be the first one to say my dogs will never get there because they'll never get trained, and anyone here virtually can attest to that. The Consulting with Children's Forum, some of the young ones that are only this high. And the sad thing is I can almost remember Miles being this high, presented at the Consulting Children's Forum, and it is absolutely great to see some of these youth leaders in schools, and Karen Jung presented at this, leading the way, because it's an incredible feat for them to get up and have that sort of confidence and speak in front of 200-odd people. And I thought that was exceptional. The Rotary of Mountain Valley hosted the group study exchange program, and I mentored Chris Vignes for the day. He was interested in local government, so he shadowed me to a number of the local government events, and he came on a photo shoot with me on the windiest day Melton ever produced, and that was for the launch of the little athletics track and the hockey field, which has created so much discussion in this chamber. Harmony Day was something that was exceptionally special to all of us that attended. There was a number of different acts, but there was also a number of taste testings there. And it's great to see so many kids get involved in all the competitions they have running during the course of that day. The Mountain Secondary College, as Councillor Turner said, celebrated their 40th birthday. It's scary for me, but I attended their 30th birthday as well, so that was a bit... We ran the Anzac Centenary production. We will remember them all. Our Councillor Turner and myself went to the initial one. We were that blown away by it. We actually came to Council asked for an encore performance the week before Anzac Day, and we had Council's blessing, and then on Sunday a lot of the councillors and a lot of family and friend went to that encore performance, and it was a wonderful day, and it was beautifully put by Councillor Cugliari. The Pop Culture on the Jetty meeting with the Melton... I've had meetings with the Melton Valley Golf Club, Melton CRC, St George Cross, the Little Athletics, Kurrunjung Park Tennis Club, the Melton Centrals, season launch Councillor Turner and I went to, the Ainsbury Residence Community. We went along to join the dots, Springside 2015, the student leadership presentation at the end of term one. Is that right? We're not at term two yet. Okay. Linking Mountain South, partying in the park. Yeah, Councillor Turner was there with his boxing gloves on. I stayed right away from him. Thank you very much. We've had meetings with Josh Morris, MP, and Marianne Thomas, MP, talking to them about the advocacy, because these are members of Parliament. We've got five in our whole state, lower house, and we have to bring them all up to speed because they all have a certain section. And Josh has got Diggers West? No. Yes.
Joshua Morris.
Yes. He's all over. But then Marianne's got Toolan, Vale, and Kamida. That's right. And we had to bring them up on the three most pressing issues, and they were education, health, and transport. And yes, there's lots to talk about what we need there. The Sons of Thunder on the eve before the Australian Easter, or our Easter, was they had a men's breakfast, and I presented to them for an hour and a half, and I couldn't get out of there. They had that many questions. Cal and I, the CEO, I should say, attended the Melbourne Resilience Strategy with the Metropolitan Mayors and CEOs down at the Melbourne Town Hall, and that was quite... it was an eye-opening experience for me to resilience and the definition of resilience. It's a new word, catch cry, a bit like sustainability was a couple of years ago, but we're working together to develop some strategies around that. The Premier's active April Fun Day for all the kids. The tour of the Caroline Springs businesses and the Melton businesses. The Anzac Day inaugural march at Caroline Springs. The Yak Awards. And I thought I was the best presenter at that. I was under the grill. They were asking me lots of questions. And generally, as Councillor Turner says, there's a lot happening in this wonderful municipality, and it's a pleasure, as I believe I speak on all of for all my councillors to represent the community at all these events. Please remember, it's a 100-year anniversary this weekend for ANZACS, so please, whether you come to the cenotaph at Melton or whether you go into town or any of the other regional, please make an effort to go and pay our respects for those that gave their life for the freedoms we have today. Thank you. I will now move on. We have a notice of motion, 14.1. Notice of motion, 402. Councillor Majlik.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to move that Council no later than the 8th of September 2015 ordinary meeting of Council provide a report to Council and subsequently to the MAV with material of the short, medium and long-term consequences of rate capping in Melton City being a growth council.
Thank you. Is there a seconder for the motion?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. The motion before us has been moved by Councillor Majlik, seconded by Councillor Bugliari. Does any councillor seek further clarification?
Yeah, I do. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Carley.
Councillor Majlik, I just have a question. As you're the MAV, delegate, has the MAV asked councils to report whether or not the decisions that councils make today, how they're going to impact the council tomorrow in regards to rate capping, or are they just wanting to know what councils think the short, medium and long-term consequences are going to be, but not involving councils' decisions that they're making at present?
I'm not sure I understand the question, Madam Mayor. Sorry, Councillor Collins.
No, that's okay. I just wanted to know, because I hear what you're saying with your motion, and I think it would be great to see a report, but what I'm trying to say is that it would be, has the MAV asked for, if we look at the short, medium and long-term consequences, what are the factors of that? Are we looking at what councils are doing today, how we're spending money today? Are they looking at that, or are they not wanting to know that? They're just wanting to know what, I guess, the officers or council feel, but not as in what decisions councillors are making.
Sure. I think the gist of the notice of motion was I attended the... I'll put it into context. Mm-hmm. I attended the Strategic Development Forum, and most of the councils, I haven't heard as yet any council that is for rate capping, whether individuals are or not. There aren't, to my knowledge at this stage, any councils that are actually for rate capping. The MAV are going to present reports on behalf or present a report on behalf of local government, being our representative in that forum, and they will be reporting to the state government, whether it's the minister, I'm not sure. I would assume that it's the Minister of Local Government and other state body members. But basically it's a report regarding rate capping, and the report that's going to be taken from this will actually be the foundation of the report that the MAV will be writing their report on actual rate capping. So as what I'm hearing from Councillor Carley is, are they considering the spending habits? Is that what you're kind of... Yeah, that wasn't brought up to the actual conversation. So as far as what I wrote down as notes, because they actually said, can you please go back to your council and ask for a report to be written, and then they can base their report on our feedback. So as in regards to the spending habits of councils, no. They're more so looking at what will be the effects, and I guess whether positive or negative, on long-term, short-term and medium, because there is a lot of rural councils that are looking at actually probably, well, that's the feedback I was getting on the day, that might even look at kind of the bankruptcy part of council if they were to cap rates. So it's not just about our council, it's the, you know, it's overall councils. Not every council is in the same situation as what we are. There are a lot of rural councils that are struggling at the moment. So it was basically a whole group, I guess, as the MAV. And just to reiterate, the MAV have taken the stance that they are against rate capping, but they are willing to work with the state government to try and get the best outcome. And I guess that's what we're all wanting in the end. So this report will help them in that way. I hope sorry I took so long to answer that question.
No, you did. Thanks, Councillor Madelick. And I just have one more question. Did Melbourne City Council cap their rates last year and are looking at doing the same this year?
Madam Mayor, I can say they did cap their rates. I'm not sure if they're going to do it again this year.
I have no information about what their intent is this year. I'm happy to circulate when we do hear, but...
I actually was speaking to the Mayor of Melbourne, and he said... Yes, it probably will be very close to capping, and he also reiterated the fact that they have a lot of income from and other sources, e.g. parking tickets and other things. So, yeah. But as to whether that goes through the whole of council, don't know. All right. The mover being Councillor Madelick, Councillor Cugliari. If there's no further clarification... Does anybody oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? The motion's carried. Thank you. Councillors, questions without notice? Yes. Mm-hmm. I actually have a question, if that's all right. I've heard a rumour, and I don't like expanding on rumours, but how can they... as in the Diggers Rest Football Club, rename the oval at Diggers Rest Bloomdale Oval?
I did read that article with some interest in the local press, Madam Mayor, where it was announced that Bloomdale had become a major sponsor of Diggers Rest Football Club, and it would be playing at Bloomdale Oval. The short answer is that the club can't rename it. It is Diggers Rest Recreation Reserve. There is a process for naming of reserves, but they can brand it whatever they like. They can call it Diggers Rest playing at Bloomdale Oval, but it doesn't actually change the name of the oval. You have to go through a process that's, as I said, geographic place names stipulate the naming of any public places. And they have to meet certain conventions. But similar to, you know, Optus Oval becoming, you know, Simmons Reserve at Geelong that used to be Cadinia Park,
as far as I'm aware, it's still Cadinia Park, but it's branded Simmons Oval or something other at the moment. So it's a marketing tool. It's not actually renaming the facility. The facility's name. And if you recall, Council some years ago went through the process with Rockbank mm-hmm. Recreation Reserve to change its name to the Ian Cowie Reserve.
Yes.
And you might remember the lengthy process that that involved.
Thank you. Any other councillors with questions without notice? Motions without notice.
Madam Mayor, I have one. That council write to Luke Donnellan, Minister for Roads and Road Safety, Wade Noonan, Minister for Police, all local members of the Legislative Assembly and Legislative Council, and the CEO of Vic Roads, calling on them to take the necessary action to have speed limits on all unsealed roads in the city of Melton reduced to 50 kilometres per hour on the grounds that the road safety is comprised by the existing 100 kilometre limit. As, and these are the points, there is a restricted visibility caused by dust on unsealed roads. Unsealed roads have a lower level of surface friction that is often inadequate signage and or inadequate driver attention to existing signage. No line marking exists to delineate traffic lanes, and drivers inexperienced in driving on loose road surfaces often lack control of their vehicle when speeds are up to 100 kilometres per hour.
Thank you, Councillor Cleary. All right, we'll move on to urgent business. Neil?
Confidential business.
Confidential business. Madam Mayor, I'd like to move a procedural motion that pursuant to Section 89.2 of the Local Government Act 1989, the meeting be closed to the public to consider the following reports that are considered confidential for the reasons indicated on item 18.1 being in accordance with Section 89.2D as it relates to contractual matters.
Is there a seconder for the recommendation?
I'd like to second that. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
We have a mover being Councillor Majlik, seconded by Councillor Dunn. Does anyone oppose the motion? Can I see a show of hands for the motion? Motion's carried. I'd like to close the chamber to the gallery. I want to thank everybody for coming. Please drive home safely. We'll only be a couple of moments, but could I ask that Councillor Bentley's family, all of them, wait patiently for us for a couple of moments because we need some important photographs taken of the new councillor. And again, I'd like to welcome Councillor Miles Bentley to our team. Thank you.